It's good to see everybody this afternoon, and we are so blessed to be here. And when I say things like that, I'm not just speaking, I'm not just saying nice things or things that are appropriate, but it really is a joy. It is an honor. It is a true privilege to be here with all of you. I have to be honest with you, when I became a member of the body of Christ, preaching was the furthest thing from my mind. That isn't anything that I wanted to do. It wasn't something that I thought long term, well, you know what, someday I'll be preaching and this, that, and the other. That was the furthest thing from my mind, but out of necessity, that I was forced into a situation where I had to do lesson preparation and then of course to present it. And so this is how it happened. Along those same lines, and I've told you before, and you may not take it in, you may not believe it, but standing in front of an audience is the most difficult thing in the world for me. I'm a loner. I like spending time with myself, even though I don't mind spending time with people, but I spend time. I'm a very quiet person when I'm not in a group setting. But nonetheless, the urgency of the gospel is more important than my insecurities and my idiosyncrasies. This stuff is too important. And so what I do, I get out of what my comfort zone is, and to sit here with my back to you, not looking at you, and that's my comfort zone. And so getting in front of you is really an uncomfortable thing for me. And I'm sure somebody's saying, well, yeah, right. You know, yeah, right. And my wife often asks me, why are you so quiet? You know, I'm in another room, and she has to come in and check my pulse and make sure I'm still alive. And you're quiet, you're not saying anything, you're not moving around. But that's my nature. That is my nature. But of necessity, because of the importance of the kingdom and the urgency of the gospel, I come out of whatever my natural character is to present a message. And I'm simply saying that to let you know that it takes a lot out of me. It takes a lot of me to do this, and you are just that important. Your soul is just that important. And if Paul begged people over and over and over again, I don't mind begging somebody with regards to their soul. And so tonight we are begging you that at the end of the lesson, if something has pricked your heart, if something has touched you, even in a slight way, don't fight it. Yield to it. Yield to it, and it will mean so very much to you in the long run and in the bigger picture. You know, and I doubt it very seriously if Brother Jackson does what I'm about to make mention of. I doubt if he comes up and say, well, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. Well, that's exactly what preachers are trying to do, trying to put words in your mouth. The reason why they say what they say, and in fact, Jesus himself put words in your mouth. Because he said that you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast. He's putting words in your mouth. So tonight I want to put words in our mouths. I want to arm us. I want to get us ready for this battle that is an ongoing conflict. And if we don't have the right words by wherewith we have to battle these opposition and deal with the contentions, then we may falter, we may fail in a situation. So yes, indeed, I am trying to put words in your mouth. The title of this evening's lesson is the theme message, and that is A Better Better. Now I know, and there's been much speculation as far as why in the world would he use, or why in the world would such a title be used. The real reason, ladies and gentlemen, beyond what the scriptures teach, But the real reason that I'm using this particular a title for our message and for our theme of series of gospel sermons is that what I want to do, I want to give us as a body of believers, I want to give us a thought to arm ourselves with. I want to give us a message that we would have absolutely zero apprehension to present to the world. I want to give us something so condensed, so succinct, yet so simple that no one can miss it. It is an attention getter. It is a conversation starter. We don't need to go to anyone else and copy off of anybody else and say what they are saying. The only thing we need to do this afternoon, Keith, we need our own words. And the idea that we are presenting to the world a better, it gives us a distinction. A better. Doesn't that sound country? You know, almost like grandpa, you know, coming home and grandma fixing him a plate of food and he eating it. And you can hear that plate just clatter. And then he pick it up and he sop it and everything else. He said, baby, that was some good. A better. I am trying to put words in your mouth. You can put it on the marquee. You can put it on a T-shirt with the church's name on the back of it. Port Lavaca Church of Christ, a better. And someone is going to come and ask you, what do you mean? Is that a typo? No, it's not a typographical error. No, this is what we're presenting to the world. A better. Now open your Bibles, if you don't mind. Open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 8. And look at verse number 6. I have to be honest with you this afternoon. I'm not the one that came up with the subject title. I wish I was as intuitive. I wish I was as smart to come up with that. No, the only thing I did was read a verse of scripture, and it was right there in front of me, jumped off the page and slapped me in the face and say, here it is, a better. For the writer who God moved to pen the book of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 6, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. There you have it, a better. I'm not smart enough. I didn't come up with this. I'm not an inspired writer. The only thing that I did is that I stole it from that verse, a better. And I guarantee you, Port Lavaca, I guarantee you, Victoria, I guarantee you, every congregation that is represented under this roof, that if we go back and we go back with that attitude and with the idea of a better, things will be better in the congregation, and we have a message to the world. Don't back off from it. A better. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what this thing is all about, a better. A parent wants better for his or her children, don't they? Does not Paul write that it is not the children that lay up for the parents, but it is the parents that lay up for the children? You want something better for your children. You want a better home for your children. You want better education for your children. You want a better job for your children. You want a better world for your children. You want a better everything for your children. This is what the Bible is offering us. It is offering us a better. It even feels good when I say it, you know. A better. And let me tell you something, young ladies. If you're going to find a guy, you better find somebody that's offering you a better. I'm eating at my daddy's house. I don't pay no rent. All the bills are paid. And he even give me a car. What you got for me? Baby, we're going to struggle together. No, that ain't good enough. You better come with a better. I'm being honest with you. A better. And if we really buy into the concept, if we buy into the thought about a better then I think we have a message to the city that will appeal to the city. At the end of the lesson, I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to give you my final point of the lesson right now, then I'm going to hasten and prosecute this message. The idea is this, is that 99 and a half won't do as far as your soul is concerned. Gotta be 100. 99 and a half won't do. We want a better. And so here it is, the writer says that we have, that he, that is Jesus, had obtained a more excellent ministry. And he is the mediator of a better covenant that is based upon better promises. I told you the other day, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 20, that all of God's promises are yea and amen. That God is telling us yes, he's telling us yes, and all of his promises are yes, 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 a better. I don't know about you, but I want you to understand, and maybe there are some people that has a chronic loser syndrome. And when all the thing that you have ever done in your life is lose, well, I want you to know, Church of Christ, tonight that you are on the winning team. You may not understand it, you may not feel it, you may not realize it, but you are on the winning team. The most positive book in all of the Bible is the book of Revelation. And in my estimation, or at least my studied opinion, the theme or the thesis of the book of Revelation is this: we know the end of the story ends, Jesus wins. If we are on his side, we are on the winning team. And what we have to do, we have to act like it, we have to live like it, we have to work like we are on the winning team, that we have a better. What do you think the people out there are looking for? Yeah, until they find something better, they'll settle just on any old religion. But when we tell them, you know what? I know a better. I guarantee you, they will give you time to explain to them what is the better. Hebrews chapter 1, God who assembled time, verse number 1, in diverse manners. He spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. But now in these last days, he speaks to us by his Son, by whom he made the whole world. And then he talks about how that mankind was made just a little bit lower than the angels. But guess what? Verse number 4, that Jesus was made better than the angels. That here it is, the angels are better than us, but Jesus is better than the angels. Therefore, Jesus is a better. And I have to say this also as we, and I'm trying my best to stay up here this afternoon and stay with my notes. Because if I stay with my notes, I will not digress, and this lesson is going to be over in a timely manner. But if I get down there, I will go all over the place. So I'm staying up here as best as I can. But there in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 9, he said that, listen, there is a better expectation of us. What we have not done and what we don't do, we don't expect enough of our members. We don't ask enough of them. What we do, we change everything for them rather than them changing for what the scriptures say is. Amen, Anderson. There are religious groups that changes everything just to pack the building. They'll have a Saturday evening service with communion so that the person can make the early morning tea time. That dog don't hunt. There is a better expectation of us. You know why? Because we have the better. We have heaven's best, finest, greatest, the better. My second to the last point is from the book, and my second to the last point is from the book of Matthew chapter 26. When Jesus takes the disciples, he takes Peter, James, and John. He takes them into the garden. And the Bible says Jesus asked them, sit here while I go yonder and pray. And the Bible says Jesus went a little further. In other words, Jesus went further or farther than anybody who ever came. John chapter 10, all that came before me were nothing but robbers and thieves. Who are you including? I'm including Moses. I'm including David. I'm including Daniel. I'm including Joseph. None of them died for your sins compared to Jesus. They are no more than robbers and thieves. He is the better. He is the better. There is nothing better. And when you get the better, it is not redundant. It is just an emphasis on the better. Jesus is. He went further. He went further. Moses didn't die for anyone's sins. Moses died for his own sins. David didn't die for anybody's sins. David died as a result of Adam's sin, because in Adam all men die. But Jesus did not sin. He could not have died for his own sins. He did not die for Adam's sins, but he died voluntarily. What I'm saying, my friends, this afternoon is that there is an expectation. Because God expects more of us because we are the recipients of the better. The writer said, we are persuaded of better things of you. There is a better expectation. I have to say this, and you all know, I don't have time to mollycoddle anybody. Eternity is too long, hell is too hot for me to play with anybody. Fact of the matter is that the motto and the mantra of our congregation must be that we are doing the better. And so the teachers, they prepare themselves for the better. The song leader prepares himself for the better. The person who serves the table prepares himself for the better. And everything we do is a reflection of the better. Because when you come here, you're going to get nothing less than the better. That's why it says, Tommy, that we are persuaded of better things of you. That's what it is. Let's move on. I can go through all of the betters in the book of Hebrews. The fact of the matter is this, is that this is the message that we present to the world, a better. We have a better hope. Our better hope is heaven. That here it is, that those who were led by Joshua out of Egypt and led into the promised land, yes, they went into that land. But when they went into that land, they had to fight to take the land. They had to fight to keep the land. And they lived among the heathens of the land that often infected them with their heathenistic practices. Well, we have a better hope. A better hope. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, there is but one hope. One hope. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 5. There is one hope. And I told you, before Jehovah's Witnesses come to my house, knock on my door, you know how the rest of y'all do. Shut up. They're at the door. Be quiet. Turn the TV down. Let them think we ain't here. No, I go and say, hey, come on in. And I listen to whatever they have to say. And they're going to ask me, well, listen, you can either expect to live on earth forever or you can go to heaven with 144,000. I said, is that right? I say, yes. Because the Bible talks in the book of Isaiah about that peaceful kingdom where the lion is going to lie down with the wolf and that the child is going to play at the den of the cockatrice and all of these things. That's going to happen right here on earth during the peaceful kingdom. And then the Bible talks in the book of Revelation about 144,000 that they're going to go to heaven. And I say, you mean to tell me I could either hope to stay on earth or hope to go to heaven? They say, yes, you got it right. I say, no, you got it wrong. Because there is one hope, and the one hope is in heaven. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 4, it is laid up for us in heaven. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4, it is reserved for you in heaven. John 14, Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. But I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. We got a better hope based upon better promises. Chapter 7, verse number 22, Jesus is a surety of better things, a better hope, a better sacrifice. We have part of that better hope is looking for a better land. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 10. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. A couple of verses later, it said that anybody that makes such a profession, they are saying that they are nothing more than strangers and pilgrims in the land, because they are looking for a better country, a better place, not made with hands. A better, better. I'm telling you right now, even as I am speaking, my mouth is salivating as I'm thinking about the better, better. That's why I'm glad that these first rows are empty, so I wouldn't spray you. But it is mouth salivating. It causes my mouth to water. The idea of a better, better. A better, better. Ladies and gentlemen, we must not just go out and try to find religion. We must not go out and just try to find a church. We must not go out and just try to be a part of somebody's fellowship. You want to find out that which is right and that which is based upon the scriptures. Don't just find something good. Find a better, better. Because the church that Jesus promised to build is the better, better. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13, as we bring this thing to a punctuation. I got my last point to make, about 99 and a half won't do, but this is my second to the last point. But in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked men, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he began to say that some said that thou art John the Baptist, some Jeremiah, some that's even saying that you are Elijah. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I told you earlier, John chapter 10, Jesus said, all that came before me were nothing but robbers and thieves. And here it is, they are saying that, and by the way, you want to know where they get that from? They got that from, as we said last year, when we're talking about, talking from that very text, that here it is that Herod, because he had killed John, that he had became paranoid because people were going around and saying that Jesus was John resurrected, or maybe that he was Elijah, or maybe that he was Jeremiah, or the prophet that was to come. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And so he asked the disciples, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, blessed are thou, Simon Barjohn, or Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father that is in heaven. It was the same Father that spoke out in John, Matthew chapter 17. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. It is the same God that spoke out in John chapter 3 when Jesus was baptized of John in the river Jordan. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's who it is. And when it says that flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, John didn't, I mean, the disciples didn't get this by some miraculous revelation. All of a sudden they have an epiphany. Oh, you are the Christ. No. It came by the same way that our faith comes by. Faith is based upon evidence. It is based upon evidence. It is based upon substance. It is not something that is ethereal, that is out there in the atmosphere, that woo, you know. That's not what faith is. That's not how this, that's how, no, the reason why they believed that Jesus was the Christ was upon the evidence. The five witnesses of John chapter 5 and all of the miracles that they saw Jesus do are better. Jesus tells Peter that upon this rock I will build my church. I want to tell you something about the church of Christ. Christ's church is better than Judaism could ever had aspired to be. Because Judaism was a closed society that only those that were born into it, those that were circumcised, those that had Jewish blood flowing through their veins, they were the only ones that could do it. But I have to let you know something this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, that the same way that Melchizedek was better than Aaron as a priest, Jesus is better than anything else. That here it is that the church that Jesus promised to build, it supersedes everything else. It supersedes everything else. It is better than anything else that had come by thus far. Anything. Anything. What are you talking about, Anderson? Because in Christ, both Jew and Gentile, everybody has an opportunity for salvation. Judaism, only the Jews. And for everybody else with the Jews, it was touch not, taste not, handle not the accursed thing. But in Christ, all can come to him and can be members of one body. We can all be called the same thing. We can all be called Christians, not by all of these sectarian names, and you just wonder where you get them from. Well, you have to go to the encyclopedia in order to find them, because you ain't going to find them in the Bible. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, 99 and a half won't do. 99 and a half won't do. It has to be 100. And the way that it is 100 is that we have to follow what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches. One must not get mad when they come at intersection with something that disagrees with what they have grown up as far as religiously. You ought to thank God and say, you know what, God, I thank you for letting me see this before it was too late. Do you want to be 99.5% or do you want to be 100? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be 100. I want to be 100. And even today, if there is anything that I am doing wrong religiously, you point it out to me, we study about it, I'm going to change. Because my soul is more important than anything else. 99 and a half won't do. Cornelius was a good man. Maybe he was 99 and a half. Paul was a Pharisee. Maybe he had 99 and a half. But when both of them met Jesus, they wanted to be 100. A better. That's what the 13 chapters in the book of Hebrews is presenting. A better. And that's our message. And we can stumble at it at first, but the more you say it and the more you practice it, the more you present it, the more bold and audacious you will be in letting someone know about a better. You know, a man does not quote a woman and tell the woman, you know, or tell the female. My daughters don't like me to call ladies females. You know, and when I call them, well, they are females. And my daughter said, not females, you know, but a woman or a lady. Man doesn't come up and say, you know, you got all these other guys that's a whole lot better than me. And, you know, I just want you to give me. If you're not better than them, then what you want me to give you a chance for? You got to come up and you got to say, you know what, I'm better than them. I'm a whole lot better than them. And that's the way we understand that Jesus is offering us something better. Something better. That's our message. That's our message. That is our message. Yes, I am putting words in your mouth. And tonight, 99 and a half won't do. If we have been living in such a way that we have not been focused on those things which are above. 99 and a half won't do. And if you are following some religion that is not based upon the scriptures, could it be mother's religion? It could be daddy's religion. It could be mama's religion. Could it be something that you just stumble upon? 99 and a half won't do. And I'll be honest with you tonight. If someone were to tell me that 99 and a half won't do, I want to visit with that person. I want to talk to you, dude. You're telling me 99 and a half won't do? You show me that I'm 99 and a half and I will be 100. That's the truth. And that is the way that a person who's sincere responds to the truth. I've said enough this evening, putting a punctuation on this evening's message. Now the choice is yours. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. By the way, you want to know something? The Sabbath rest in Jesus is better than the Sabbath rest that Moses gave them. Because after the Sabbath rest that Moses gave them, they had to go to work the next day. But in Jesus, when a man ceases from his labors, he rests. And that is the rest that Jesus is offering. He says, and you shall find rest for your souls. And so there in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about the four different rests. And then he talks about there remains a rest for the people of God. And that rest is in Christ Jesus. He offers us rest. But we have to come to him. How do we come to him? We come to him by hearing the word. What do you have to hear? You have to hear that Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. I have to be honest once again with you, that if you develop faith any other way than hearing that Jesus died, was buried, that rose again, you didn't hear it right. You got to hear the gospel, because the gospel is God's power to save. And the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1 through 4. Acts chapter 15, verse number 7. Paul says that when there had been much disputing, Peter rose and said, men and brethren, you know how good while ago that God made choice among men that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the words of the gospel. You got to hear Jesus died, Jesus buried, Jesus rose again. You can't hear a song move me, a song moved me and it touched me and I knew I needed to be saved. That dog don't hunt. You got to hear Jesus died, Jesus buried, Jesus rose again. 99 and a half won't do. You got to hear that message. You have to believe it. You have to repent of your sins. You have to repent of your sins. And then you have to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. 99 and a half won't do, because there are people out there saying that what you got to do, you got to confess, you got to confess your sins. Go through the scriptures and see. You'll never find out of one way that a person who wants to be in Christ has to confess his or her sins. You got to repent of your sins, but you have to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus himself said in Matthew 10:32, confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. The eunuch says, see, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? If you believe, you can. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's the confession that you have to make. Now, once you are a member of the body of Christ and you sin, you need to confess those sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 10. And then you must be baptized. 99 and a half won't do. Charles Spurgeon is the one that coined the concept that baptism is an outward sign of inward grace. That ain't in the Bible. Baptism is an outward sign of inward grace. Ain't nothing outside about baptism. Baptism is all in, not out. Because if a person is baptized into Christ, Romans chapter 6, verse number 2-3, they are baptized into his death, talking about the gospel. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness. 99 and a half ain't gonna do. Baptism puts a person into Christ. It is to have your sins washed away, Acts 22:16. These ain't verses that I just went and memorized. That's what the Bible teaches. When the people ask on the day of Pentecost, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized. Their question was, what shall we do? You shall, or you need to do this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children, them that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from the untoward generation. 3,000 people were baptized. Why? 99 and a half won't do. I was baptized at 2 o'clock one morning. 99 and a half won't do. And when folk heard that there was somebody was going to be baptized, a dozen people got out of their beds. Word went around. Somebody made a phone call. A dozen people got out of their beds to come and watch me be baptized. And I looked around and said, oh, this got to be right. Folk getting out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning to come watch a baptism. And the first time I was baptized when I was 12 years old, they sat me on the front pew for a whole month, you know, sat me there for a whole month. What would I have died during that month? I would have been stuck like Chuck, you know. 99 and a half won't do. A better. That's what I want. That should be what you should want also. Maybe I did a stumbling job this evening in presenting the message. And if I did, God is going to make up my inadequacies with his perfection of his word. And I know that his word touch hearts. But whether or not you're going to let God be true and every man a liar, or you're going to make God a liar and man be true, that is really what's going to be revealed tonight. I want God to be true. I've said enough this evening. You can be baptized into Christ, and once you are baptized into Christ, the Lord is going to add you to the church. You cannot join the church of Christ. You got to be added to it. You can join the Masons, Eastern Star, Boy Scout, Girl Scout. You can join any kind of organization, but you got to be added to the body of Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse number 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved or such as were being saved. I've said enough this evening. The rest is between you and God. There is power in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus was better than the blood of bulls, the ashes of a heifer, or any of those sacrifices. It was better. He purchased the church with that blood. He will wash you with that blood. Tonight you can be in Christ. There is power in the blood. Why don't you come as together we stand and sing?